Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby, sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, but Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. All right. I thought that one might be a little off. Where was that guy up there?
Right here!
Why didn't you say this is Doug Loves Movies?
Because I watched Doug Getting Dog with High.
Because yeah. You watched Getting High with Doug.
Yeah, man.
It's the title that I created that you, when you fuck up, you say it right. Or saying it right is fucking up. But, well, thank you, dude, for being here. No one's going to get high up here. I mean, I am high up here, but nobody is going to smoke weed during this show. This is a movie-intensive show with discussion and trivia.
You love movies.
I do. I love movies. I'm glad you figured that out. We're coming to you for the second time from the Traverse City Film Festival, which is celebrating 10 years of bringing Michigan just great movies. Yeah. I love great movies. The man who chooses all of the films that play this festival was going to be a guest tonight, but he's under the weather and he has a lot of more festival to host for the rest of the weekend. So we wish him well and hope that he feels better. But before I bring the guests out, I have to do this. It's Wednesday, July 30th, 2014, Wolf of Wall Street, Fight, Terminator 2, Judgment Day of the Dead Men Walking Tall, The President's Men in Blackfish. Blackfish, I saw that here last year. King Ralph, A Dog Day, Afternoon Delight, Sleep Perfect, Murder by Death Wish 3, Amigos, World's End of Watchmen Don't, Leaving Las Vegas, Food, La Jingle, All the Wayne's World. Let me see your name tags, Travis City. Whip them out, TC. Got a lot of good ones. A lot of festival attendees that probably got tickets to this show and are wondering what is happening right now. But people make really cool movie-themed name tags, and they bring them to my shows and hope to get picked for the gameplay. What does that say on your gun, sir?
The Dan Hunter.
The Dan Hunter?
Yes.
Instead of what?
The Deer Hunter.
Instead of the Deer Hunter? Okay. And they had a toy gun in the Deer Hunter with an orange tip? Oh, I see a Woot Monkey. What's your name, Woot Monkey?
Kaylee.
Kaylee. Did you write it on the Woot Monkey? Is it sort of a name tag? Okay, fair enough. Dave? What's that instead of?
Drive.
Drive. It's the same font as Drive. I get it. What's yours, Mark?
The Ides
of Mark instead of March. I really like what you guys are doing here. This is a puntastic town. I see a Clockwork Orange poster over there. I'm sure Michael Moore might have picked that because I think he loves that movie. The Right Steph is here. Gary movie instead of Scary movie. Stand by who? Mo?
Oh, Steve by me.
Steve by me. You had to look at your own poster that you made. I thought it said Stand by Mo. It's Steve by me. And the Karate Who? Sid? And you're Sydney?
Yep.
Nice job, Sydney. Karate Sid. Thank you to everybody for bringing name tags. We can't talk about them all because the show isn't Doug Loves Name Tags. It should be. That'd be a fun program. From the corrections department, TJ Miller claims to have never won at the Leonard Maltin game, but in fact, he's in the top 10 winners in the show's history, having won 6 times. And John Hamm has only won 4 times. So suck on that, TJ Miller. And from the correcting the corrections department, Once Upon a Time in America is over 3 hours long at 251 minutes if you count the original director's cut that the United States decided to pare down to a terrible 139 minutes. Stupid American version. Thank you. So that's settled. Thank you for coming to this Traverse Citizens instead of Jurassic Park outside, because that sounds pretty fun, but it's also kind of fucking cold out. Even though it's summer, you guys are having a little bit of a cold snap, so thanks for staying inside an opera house with me. Not an opera house, a playhouse. I confused it with the opera house. You watch so many movies in places that don't say movie theater on the sign that they start to all blend together. But the State Theater and the Bijou, if you're ever in the area for any reason, I think they're open year-round and they're beautiful and they're awesome theaters. Let's just, I don't know how sick he is right now. I'm sure he's going to be fine, but let's, for the hell of it, let's just have a round of applause for Michael Moore for putting this festival. He put this festival together. Who's coming to the Benson movie interruption on Friday night here? 12:15 a.m. There's still a few tickets left over at the beautiful State Theater. We're going to be interrupting Roadhouse. Yeah, and we'll all try to remember Dalton's words. Be nice. Until you can't be nice. Then fuck people up. Madison, Wisconsin. Doug Loves Movies is coming to Comedy on State in Madison this Sunday, August 3rd at 4:20. And then we're going to do a stand-up show that night at the same club at 8 o'clock. Separate admish. Separate. And Monday night I'm doing with a special guest stand up in Rosemont, Illinois at Zany's. Let's look in the prize bag, you guys. Lots of fun stuff, as you can imagine, when you come to a festival that's in a town known for their cherries and their cherry flavored products. So when you come here, they give you a bag full of awesome cherry flavored things, and then I put them in the prize bag and give them to one of you. Because if this was in my room, I would just come home back to my room late at night, high and drunk, and fucking eat every one of these goddamn chocolate covered cherries from Cherry Republic. And we've got Just Good Chocolate Yum cookies. Yeah, that one. That part of the reason I don't want those is because it's got walnuts in it. I don't know why people keep putting walnuts in cookies. Guess somebody likes it. Here's a little chocolate that I put it under my pillow. Well, it's supposed to go on your pillow. Oh, these look really great. These are the cookies in the shape of Michigan with icing on them, and they're called Cherry Chews. And those would have been the first things I ate if they were in my room. What's that? They're for dogs? I swear I thought it said for Dougs. So I was all over it. But yeah, turns out it's a dog bakery. These look delicious. Now I fucking have to eat part of one. The fuck? I gotta... You don't come here and not try the dog chews. I had cherry-infused vodka last night at the opening night party, and I enjoyed that, so this has got to be... They just look like regular cookies. Who else will eat one with me? All right. Oh, shit. It's even better when it's been on the ground. That's how dogs like them. They're very hard to get into. The icing's not bad, though. I like the icing, but the actual cookie is for strong teeth. All right, I'll put it back in the bag. Can you believe it if a dog turned that down? Oh, it's got human saliva on it. So hopefully the winner tonight will have a dog. Oh, this next prize, and let me warn you, the band Warrant isn't here. Cherry pie, fresh from the oven, and then into a box for a while. But a nice big piece of cherry pie from, I think the place is called We Love Pie, or Pie Pump Grand.
Grand Travis.
Grand Travis Pie Company.
Bam!
I was at Comic-Con last week, and I also, you know, I love to smoke weed, so I brought a stoner comic book called Tales of the World-Famous Drive-Thru Bud. So that's a fun item. And then everything else is from my guests, and a copy of Gateway Doug 2, and the rest is from my guests, so I'll discuss that with them once they are out here. Please give a big, warm Traverse City Film Festival TCFF welcome to Jesse Pastrnak, owner Tuchel, and Jeff Tate. Hey, fellas.
Hello.
Hi. That's tell your last name the way you prefer it pronounced, owner.
Oh, Tuchel.
Tuchel.
A lot of people think it's Turkel. I think that's a popular thing that studs Turkel.
Yeah,
Turkel.
Maybe they're just giving you a compliment. They think you're a stud.
Stud, right? You know,
so they call you owner Turkel.
Owner Turkel. I'm not a stud, but you know, I look like one.
Tuchel. Tuchel. Then we're Tuchel. Going with
Tuchel. Yeah,
Tuchel. Okay. Like a toucan, but yeah. Tuchel.
Yeah.
I have to remember things that in those sort of weird ways. I've got the Fruit Loops bird in my head now.
right, sure.
Whenever I look at you, and you are a filmmaker who writes and stars in and directs and edits your own projects.
Yeah, the last couple of movies that I've starred in just for fun, and it was easier for me to play myself. And I've got a movie called Summer of Blood playing right now, which is a vampire comedy.
And that's going to be at midnight tonight here at the festival.
Yeah, Wednesday night at midnight. I don't imagine. And there's going to be a whole lot of people there for the show.
Dude, people tear it up in this town.
Yeah, but tomorrow at 9:00, that's cool. But I mean, I'm really excited to be here. So yeah.
And it's like, what is it, like 90 minutes long, that movie?
It's about 86 minutes.
Yeah. You come in at tight 86. That's nice.
Yeah.
And
the original cut was like an hour and 40 minutes, and we cut a lot.
No. Go for 86. That's a sweet, sweet ass.
Do you think about like running time? Does that make you like a movie better if it's shorter or longer? Do you like?
I think it should be the right length, but when it starts at 86, chances are it's not going to be too long.
Right.
You know? How could something called Summer of Blood be awful? I'm excited about it. Michael Moore has put his stamp of approval on it.
Yeah, a lot of they got really bad reviews too. There were a few reviews that came out that said it was the worst film of the Tribeca Film Festival too. So if they were good.
Wait,
reviews,
it got into Tribeca?
Yeah, I mean we played it.
And then they talk shit about it?
No, they were certain. No, that wasn't Tribeca. The festival itself didn't say we regret putting.
Oh,
the
it
film
wasn't
out
Robert
there,
De Niro who came out with a statement. This is the worst film we've ever. But it was. But it still has to pass a lot of through a lot of people to get into a film festival, and film festival movies, you know, they can't be for everybody. That's what I like about this festival is it just sort of seems like Michael Moore picked a bunch of movies, so we're going to learn a thing or two while we're here. I fucking learned so much today, except for the one I just saw. I just saw Palo Alto. Has anybody seen that? And you liked it? Okay. That's my point. There's something for everybody. I didn't dislike it, I should say. It's got good performances and James Franco. And it's based on a book that he wrote of short stories.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy fucking does everything. Should probably stick to one thing and do that great. Yeah. His movie that he made based on the Cormac McCarthy novel, it's just coming out this week. It's called Son of God. And he was on Michael and Kelly promoting it. And they're talking to him about it. And he's just going, this movie's kind of crazy. And he can't say it, but... people need to know that in this movie, some weird hillbilly guy, you watch him take a shit. You watch him squat and shit come out of him. It's a wonderful performance. I hope he gets an Oscar nod, because there's not enough awards being handed out for somebody that has the nerve to shit on camera. Those poor two girls with that one cup didn't get anything. So, owner, I'm going to be making a lot of speeches tonight in lieu of, because I thought Michael Moore would be doing that. And I think we really should have a very thought-provoking session here, because that's what he would have wanted. Although last year he did actually hold a pair of soiled underwear on the end of a pen. And I heard the person who won that in the prize bag is here. Is that true?
Yeah, my wife won.
That's you? My wife! Your wife won the prize bag, and yeah. She's just home now with the underwear?
Well, if you remember, there was a lot of talk of baby caves last year, and she actually had a baby in the baby cave.
Oh, she had a baby since the show?
She's coming up tomorrow with the baby.
Oh, she's bringing the baby. Okay, you don't have to tell the whole family itinerary.
I'd feel a lot more comfortable if you stopped waving that gun around.
Yeah, you really do gesture with it in a way that we're, instead of saying, my wife's coming to town, you should be saying, put the money in the bag. Which is another way of saying my wife's coming to town. So Jeff Tate is here, everybody. Let's hear it for Jeff.
Hello.
Are you having a fun time at the festival, buddy? I brought you because I knew that not only would you would have a good time at a film festival, but also that people listen to Doug Loves Movies would be excited to see you here. See here, hear that?
Yeah, I'm having a great time.
I think all your fans are probably out at Jurassic Park.
Yeah. But that's...
Because you have that childlike sense of wonder.
Right.
That one needs to still have to enjoy Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I like bad stuff.
Yeah. I just... That whole movie, I'm just like, Newman. Because he really fucks everything up. That could be a perfectly nice dinosaur park if it wasn't for Newman.
Some guy last night on that after I left that street party... Some nice festival goer got me stoned in an alley. And then I went into Horizon Books and bought a book I've already read. And I went back to my room and ate one of them dog treats.
What book did you buy? What book was it?
It's called Unknown Man 89.
Who wrote it?
Elmore Leonard.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah, you're on kind of it. You're kind of an Elmore Leonard kick, kind of, because you are excited to see or want to see Life of Crime, a movie based on his work that's playing this festival.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't have a ticket yet. If this guy's wife don't show up, maybe. Maybe I can get her ticket.
It's the prequel to Jackie Brown, right? Is that right? It's the prequel to Jackie Brown? Is that supposed to be what it is?
It's got most Def plays Ordell Robbie, which is who Sam Jackson was in Jackie Brown, but I don't know.
Probably doesn't do an impression of him. Probably still sounds like most Davy Fan. Like
I hope he doesn't have that weird beard.
Jeff has brought for the prize bag a copy of one of his two CDs. This one's called I Got Potential. And
and on the inside of it is a copy of Chad Daniels' You're the Best. There's
another comedian who's been on Doug Loves Movies. His CD is from the same company, so Jeff has them both in his.
Right. I've been traveling for a long time.
But that's not how people can buy it. They can't buy it as a
double. No, it's not a two-pack.
Double.
Yeah. You're just a kind person. You wanted people to have it.
Oh, I want people to know about Chad Daniels, too. He's funny.
Yeah.
This, everybody, is... I pretty sure. Nope, not the youngest guest, Dave Foley's daughter, but... And Sean Cullen's son. But you are, Jesse, probably the youngest guest whose parent is also not on the panel.
Oh, thank you, yeah.
Right? How old are you?
I'm 18.
18, you guys. Yeah, he's going to do a lot of growing up tonight. We met last year at this particular festival because when you come here, they say to comedians like myself, hey, do you want to be on a comedy panel? And you go, sure. And then they're like, oh, this year the comedy panel's outside under a tent. And it's just going to be like a little chat. And we didn't have microphones, right? And the guy, the moderator, was the fucking horse whisperer. very nice guy and a great director, but he was really quiet. So all these people were in his tent going, what? After everything he'd say. And it was an interesting experience, but I met you afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And you came up to me because you had seen Doug Loves Movies the night before.
Yeah.
In this very space. Mm-hmm. And something had come up during the show, and you wanted clarification on it. Do you remember what that was?
Yes, it was... the category was erectile dysfunction, and one of them was from 1967. And I read some articles about Bonnie and Clyde where it talked a lot about how Clyde was impotent. And I thought, oh, well, it's not a popular subject in the 60s in mainstream movies. Like, it's got to be that. So I asked during the panel, I asked you, oh, well, is this during 1967? Seven, was it Bonnie and Clyde? And you start going, oh, people always do this to me. You're such a nerd. Yes, it's Bonnie and Clyde. You win nothing. And my first reaction was, yay. And I went up to you afterwards, and you couldn't have been nicer.
I yelled at you like Willy Wonka at the end of the movie. You win nothing.
Yeah.
We had to sterilize this comedy tent because you drank fizzy lifting drinks.
Yeah. It was a wonderful moment.
I think it was a friendlier exchange than that.
Oh, yeah,
but I was just very impressed because then I said, how old are you? And you said 17, and you were smaller than you are now. You've had a growth spurt. And so it was just like, I was like, oh my God, it's a new Sam Levine in the making.
Wow, thank you.
Rising from the ashes. Yeah, but you'll be like a nicer version.
Have you seen Bonnie and Clyde?
No, I haven't. That was
so you got
he
that.
He just reads
from...
about impotence a lot. Really looking forward to it someday. And for the prize bag, you brought a copy of the Even Stevens movie.
Yeah.
Starring Shia LaBeouf, who is not famous anymore.
Yeah, it's from my childhood, and I thought it could be read as a cautionary tale on a new rewatch.
You kind of imagine what a nightmare Shia was going to become. He's so nice as Even Stevens.
Yeah.
Was his name Even or Stevens?
It was actually Lewis.
Lewis?
Yeah. The family name was Stevens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Finally, a foremost authority on Even Stevens.
Yeah.
Because also, you know, now just to be sure that you're not, that you're as smart as I think you are,
Thank you.
That's not a theatrical movie, right?
Yeah, Disney
Channel. It's just
Channel
on
original.
TV. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And how much erectile dysfunction does he suffer from?
None in the movie, at least, because he's like 13, so that wouldn't be a problem for him. I'm told, I think, yeah. I don't know.
He's not suffering from it now either, if you've seen Nymphomaniac. He's totally turgid. You know, in the most extreme way. If that's his real schlong.
Oh my God, turgid is the worst nickname for an erection.
Well, you know, I have a very eccentric girlfriend. She gets really turned on by, you know, my turgidity. When I'm talking about it,
What the fuck are you talking about?
Using the word turgid. Tonight, if anybody's lucky enough to have sex, just throw the word turgid out there and see what happens. I mean,
are you saying...
it's great to learn something while you're having sex, to expand your vocabulary. If you didn't know the word to begin with, to expand your vocabulary while you're, you know, getting laid, it's a terrific thing if you can like...
Are you saying detergent?
That's what you need after. That's what you need after the sex. You need to, you know, wash everything very, very
sturgeon?
I just like to point
turgid.
Out.
Turgid?
T-U-R-G-I-D, yeah.
No, that's not what you're saying. What are you saying?
Turgidity, yeah. Turgidity, I think.
Turgidity?
It's a word, yeah.
You don't know the word turgid?
Nope.
You know turgid.
I think I do.
This of discussion course might be context. Turgid.
Not in this context. I'd also just like to point out my parents are here, so just...
What, are they dumb or something? They don't know turgid either?
No, they do.
It's not a dirty word.
It's an adjective or noun. It's an adjective, yeah.
What is you remember that from Schoolhouse Rock. Turgid is a noun or something.
You can just imagine the guy writing the song trying to find something that rhymes with boner and then going with turgid.
Also for the prize bag, Jeff brought copies of two Michael Moore movies.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, Bowling for Columbine and Fahrenheit 9/11. So be sure to pop those in right after you watch the Even Stevens movie. I'd even make an Even Stevens Michael Moore sandwich out of these two. That, what a fun night that would be. Invite a girl over and then never see her again.
Well, at what point during that trilogy are you going to say you're all turgid for sex or whatever, however he said it?
It's such a close call. Which one's the most depressing?
I want to point out that those two movies are also from his childhood, because everything's from his childhood. Because even this is from his childhood.
Yeah. He's a man. He's 18.
Thank you, Doug.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know why I said that with such glee. So happy when anybody makes it to that crucial year marker.
Oh man, it's real turgid up here. Did I use it right?
Yeah, I think.
Somebody look it up on their iPhone.
It's the kind of word that whenever
definition.
I hear it, I go, yeah, that seems to be like in context. It seems to mean something. But when you just go, what does turgid mean? I guess just slow. Or just it's like what would Michael Moore say? That is the least helpful thing you could have yelled out. That is the worst thing you could have yelled out right there.
I thought you were answering the question.
I was thinking, what would you say about like somebody saying, I want to get rid of my Michael Moore movies and just give them away as door prizes? Like, you know, is that, there's something insulting about that? I mean,
no, he went out and bought them at a very hefty cost.
That's nice.
Yeah. Those aren't my only copies.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not a fucking turgid over here.
Next phrase on the agenda, dead horse.
I just thought of a spy movie for you, Jeff. Jeff Tate, Secret Turgid.
Shadow Turgid.
Oh. Turgid Recruit.
Pulverized Horse.
Turgid Fall. Like Skyfall. That didn't sound good.
Dude, take it easy. Your parents are here.
Let's start a hashtag game on Twitter. Replace a board in a movie title with Turgid.
My last name is no longer Tuco, it's Turgid. Owner Turgid.
Under the Turgid Sun.
Beatles new renaming it's a Turgid Day's Night, you know?
My Turgid Idiot Brother. Points, thank you. I prefer joints. So, Jesse, here's the crazy thing about you. It's not crazy. It's cool.
Thank you.
You have an older brother.
Oh, I do, yes.
Who enjoys the Douglas Movies podcast.
Oh, yeah, he does.
I'd say more than you do. Like, he's more familiar with it.
Probably.
And you're sitting here rubbing it in his face that you're a guest on the show and he's back where? Where do you guys live?
New York.
Yeah, he's in New York just crying his eyes out.
Well, he's in the comedy world, so, like, he understands. Like, you know, he's, like... has his own cool stuff, so he probably understands, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were in a show business family.
He said comedy.
What's his name? Let's give him a plug.
Oh, his name is Sam Pasternak. You might be able to find him. He does a Summy Card. He's a contributor there to the Summy Cards, and he just started working as a writer's assistant on the Meredith Vieira show, her new daytime show.
Oh, right on. And he also... has he put in a bid to be... There's an auction going on to raise money for right here in Traverse City. Michael Moore wants to install a Walk of Fame in front of the State Theater that will be a not only a sidewalk with the handprints of lots of famous people who have come through here, including Madonna.
Wow.
Yeah, Madonna's going to be out in front of this State Theater on her hands and knees. Permanently. And but this is the part that I'm so excited about because I'm going to come back in the winter for the comedy festival. I skipped it this year because I somehow sensed that the average temperature would be 29 below. And I also sensed that the Weezer cruise would be a little warmer, so I went on that. But next year I'm coming back to the winter carnival. It is kind of a carnival, but the winter comedy festival. And I don't know if it's going to be built by then, but it's going to be great for winter. Yeah. The sidewalk with the handprints in it is also going to be heated.
Wow.
Huh? Yeah. So
what does that mean? There'll
be homeless people sleeping on all the on all the handprints, and you have to push them aside. Hey, I want to see Madonna's handprints, you fucking bum.
You all think that's a good thing? Handprints on the is that a good thing? Is that I mean, where is that?
It's like Grauman's, you know, but for Michigan, you know, it's like a thing of honor. Like if you have your thing there.
Yeah, it's like the Chinese theater out in L.A.
Oh yeah,
right. I mean, there are gonna be local people too who have made a contribution to Traverse City that will have their handprints out there. I would assume that would be the thing to
do. It's not our idea, man.
I wish that Michael Moore could be here right now to argue with you about about how great his idea is. Because he's going forward with it, and he's got a lot of auctions going on for awesome things, like the jacket that that Jennifer Aniston wore in Life of Crime is one of the options. I think it's like coffee with Matthew Modine is an option. I mean, I'll ask him so many great questions about Vision Quest.
Yeah, wrestling with Matthew Modine, I would pay to wrestle him. I wouldn't pay for a coffee with him, but if I could wrestle him, that would be amazing.
Well, once you get him in the room, it's kind of whatever you feel like doing.
Right? Did anybody think his death?
Yeah, fucking wrestle him in the Starbucks.
I think his death in Dark Knight was absurd. Like,
Well, he dies like an extra, you know, like a soldier. You know?
You see when he's on the ground, he's just lying there. It's just like so absurd. It looks like he was just placed there. Like he didn't want to get his outfit dirty. You know what I mean? Did you remember that?
If he had like some blood on him, though, it might have been better. Because I think the point was he's supposed to be like a soldier, like just any guy. Like even like the guy who's like the you can't do this. It, like just ends up like any other extra, just on the ground.
Anybody have a problem with Matthew Modine's death in The Dark Knight? the last of the...
I had a problem with his whole character. His character was a dick that was just stopping the right thing from happening at every turn.
Yeah.
And then he kind of, for a while, he felt kind of bad about it. Like, oh, I shouldn't have... He kind of reminded me of all the villains in Die Hard. You know, how they, are no help the whole time. Just complete douchebags. But, and it was Matthew Modine, who I usually find quite likable. So I didn't buy it.
Oh.
And I used too many words, so now I'm choking on air.
You guys are talking about a Batman movie?
Yeah, we should be talking about new things.
They kind of were, yes.
Yeah?
The under-discussed
Matthew Modine
role.
Matthew Modine.
Yeah, the role no one remembers.
I don't think no one does.
Yeah.
Well, it was just a movie that just happened, and Matthew Modine is a pretty recognizable guy. He's like the, you know, whatever. He's like standing in for Commissioner Gordon, I think. But the reason I brought this up at all, we went off quite a tangent there, is that the auction items are going to be available till August 6th, and one of them is an appearance on Douglas Movies. If you bid on it, whatever city you're in, I'll try to come to you. If you're in Traverse City, we can maybe do it during next year's festival. But basically my point is I'm, you know, nothing's included, like no hotel and no air. It's just, yeah, we're going to take away all of your oxygen. And that used to be what we said comics would say about a gig, you know, it's no hotel, no air, you know, like we just have to get there and sleep on somebody's couch.
You guys can get hotels and air?
That you get that stuff sometimes, like you at this gig.
I'll be back. I'm going to get a beer.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to be it's under control. It's amazing. I'm nervous to talk, you know what I mean? You know, Not nervous, but like great show. I'm looking forward to participating, but I can get a beer, right? You won't miss me.
I'm looking forward to you participating again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
nice of you to give us something to look forward to during the show.
No. He really held up his end in the Dark Knight Rises debate too. Like he really debated his side very well.
So there's some sort of auction, huh?
Yeah.
So anyway, I was going to ask owner. Listen, owner. No, I'll get this out finally. That was fast. TCFF.org/auction. TCFF, that's for Traverse City Film Festival, .org/auction. Go there, bid on lots of crazy stuff. I seriously would want to have a few minutes with Matthew Modine and lots of other things. And that'll raise money for the heated sidewalk. Oh, and also there's a Traverse City Film Festival app on Apple Store or Google Play. Do you have that, Jesse?
No, I don't, but I really need to download it. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah, seems like something it would work out good for you. Yeah. And you're also probably the youngest person at most at all the film festivals, but specifically at this one, who actually moderates the Q&A with filmmakers after their movie. Has played, right?
Oh, yeah, I do. I'm actually, the Summer of Blood that was referenced earlier, I'm doing that with owner after Doug Loves Movies is over.
You're doing that tonight?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're going to all just go over there. Let's just all go over to the State Theater and see Summer of Blood.
It's here, isn't it?
That's good. The process is really interesting, though, because you haven't
seen... Oh, it's
here? Let's stay
here, you guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of expended energy going all the way to the State Theater, finding out it's over here, and then having to come back.
The process is really very concise. He doesn't see the movie. You're going to watch the movie and then ask questions afterwards. But he's been researching things about me prior to it. I'm nobody. I'm not going to talk much at all because I know that's part of it. Like, you have big people up here. That's one of the things about insecurity is like, why am I here? Nobody wants to hear me talk. They want to hear you talk. They want to hear Jeff talk. And they should, because you have interesting things to say. And who the fuck am I talking about my movie? But you, going into the Q&A, he will have seen the movie there.
Are you channeling the spirit of Jeff Garland right now?
Is that what Jeff Garland does?
It's just fun, what you're doing right now.
Well, okay, it's not fun at all. It's not fun at all. So anyway, fuck it.
It's a monologue
if you have
about
to do
how little talking you're going to do.
right. No.
It's like you're the villain and you're telling us everything before we kill you.
I need to be killed.
You're telling us too much of the plan.
In this situation, I see how that happens now. Maybe the villain is just nervous around the hero, and then he just starts spilling his guts. I don't want to tell you all this.
Out of insecurity, he has to say, look, how much better I am than you. But not saying I'm better than you.
Speaking of villains, the lady just came out and scared the shit out of Jeff.
Are you okay?
Well, that's not surprising.
She's like, we forgot to put this in your swag bag when you got here. Everybody gets an iPhone.
She gave me a phone. It's got the definition of turgid on it.
Oh. I hope it says this episode of Doug Loves Movies is brought to you by Turgid.
It's an adjective. It means swollen and distended or congested.
Something unpleasant, but I didn't know it was that specific. Congested. Why not fucking say congested instead of turgid?
I'm so
turgid right now. I can't breathe. My nose is all stuffed up from...
You say this to girls you're about to fuck?
No, after.
After? Oh, how do you fuck? Are you doing it wrong?
See, Summer of Blood. It's all in Summer of Blood. I promise you, it's all in Summer of Blood. You know?
You find out if they have
a girl's coming-of-age story?
There's definitely coming, and I'm 41, so there's coming and age, yes, both.
But it is a vampire movie, though, right?
Vampire film, right.
And you star in it. Who does not want to see that? See, hear the silence? Everybody here would watch that.
I wouldn't watch
it. Once we have met you, we all want to see a vampire movie starring you that takes place in summer.
The great thing about independent film, as opposed to the Hollywood kind of mainstream, where it's trying to deaden the senses, I think, of the population, is that you are trying to awaken people to a new sensibility they're not usually drawn to. And it's too bad that you have a big, big mainstream movie that you guys promote that opens on 4,000 screens, and then a week later, no one's in the theater to see them, and those theaters are just empty, where they could be occupied by independent films that do awaken the senses of the people. If I can be high and mighty for a second.
That was Michael Moore of you, that speech. Right.
So what is Michael Moore doing the last 4 or 5 years? Is he still like, is he produced? Because Capitalism is a great movie. Has anyone seen that film?
Capitalism, a Love Story?
It's a great movie. Really great movie. He's also talking about things that people seem to have forgotten about, which is everything that Bush did to lead up to the economic crisis, and Obama getting lambasted and just like beaten down for things that Bush is responsible for. Capitalism reminds people of what that was. They're snickering and
it's
laughing.
It's like
there
Michael Moore
and there
is
should
fucking
be
here.
And people should tell and people should tell me to go fuck myself because I like the crowd participation. But you know, Michael Moore, I mean, he's a patriot. Great man. Great.
Do you star in your own movies?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's been covered a couple times.
Do you start? No,
let's talk about Turgid. Turgid back. Let's bring Turgid back.
I was gonna.
It's so much more interesting to talk about Turgid than this, isn't it?
Probably.
It's kind of a toss up.
Do you star in your own movies because you can't get an actor to say all the words you make the star say?
Are your scripts super wordy?
The other actors are really amazing in the movie. That's what makes it great. I surround myself with great actors. That's what I love about this movie. I'm not a great actor, but I'm surrounded by great actors, and it makes my performance transcend. I'm not bragging or by any
means. Hey, that's what Seinfeld did.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a good move.
Seinfeld wasn't a good actor.
It's a good game plan. Yeah. Seinfeld, Matthew Modine, a lot of
you
great
guys would
actors.
Act in a movie great, if you had a
Jerry,
chance.
Jerry got great at it as it went along. Like, he just wasn't good in the beginning.
Right. You guys would be a great actor. You guys would love to be in a film. I'm surprised. I was asking you before, why hasn't anyone asked you? And, like, I think you guys would be terrific at it, right?
A lot of times you have to audition and stuff.
Fuck that. Yeah, you don't want to do that. But get in independent films. I mean, you know. Yeah.
If only there was somebody right next to me who makes movies.
I was like, these guys are barely going to talk at all. What am I going to do for 90 minutes? Can I talk? Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. It is my podcast. owner brought for the prize bag, something that I think is a very unique and special prize. It's two drawings that he made of scenes from the film. Right?
From
Summer of Blood?
Yeah.
Okay. And one of them is a vampire biting into a doggy. And the doggy is thinking, this guy's a fucking dick. So it's kind of like a Look Who's Talking of vampire movies. So we hear the dog's thoughts as he's getting attacked by a vampire. The question was for you.
I'm sorry. What
it was a weird time
again?
To take a big swig of beer.
Yeah.
I've gotten lots of criticism for being an asshole in the movie, and like, I love villains in films. You ever see? I mean, I'm sorry, Doug. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, we're here to spur a conversation about the film. Every time you're coming up on talking about films, you decide to shift into quiet or turgid.
Well, I can talk about influences of the film, which is great. Has anyone seen the movie Vampire's Kiss? Nicolas Cage.
Oh, great movie.
Great movie, right? It's very Summer's
opposite.
Blood is very influenced by that film. Like, if we're going to talk about movies, that's a great movie. If anyone's seen it in the late 80s, early 90s, I think it took place in Chicago, and I can't remember the name of the director. I'm not on coke, I promise you. People think I am.
His name was Robert something, right?
Starts with a B. Yeah, that's exactly right. Larry Fessenden's Habit. Did you ever see that movie? Doug, cut me off. I'm not going to.
You asking questions and then keep talking. I don't get what's happening.
I want to reference other movies because.
Right, but what was the question that you just asked about a movie that's not Vampire's Kiss?
I asked a question?
Yeah, you mentioned another, was it another Nicolas Cage movie? Well, it was another something. And then you said, have you seen that? And before I could you moved on. And now nobody knows what you're asking.
Larry Fessenden's Habit. Has anyone seen that film? It was early 90s, took place in New York. Intimate vampire film, maybe psychological, maybe literal, who knows? Really terrific movie.
Has anyone seen that?
Nobody should check it out, Larry. Exactly. So I apologize for bringing up movies that no one's seen. It's turgid up here. I'm having a hard time right now, you know?
Swollen and congested.
Yeah. Hard. Hard is the way I always saw it. Hard.
You just sit back and talk when I speak to you. It's going to be perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really easy to be a guest on this show. And I want to show the other thing that you brought 15 minutes later, which is another drawing from the movie in which someone is vomiting blood into someone else's mouth. Correct?
Yes, it's a scene in the movie, the first kill of the movie. I think it's worth seeing because the first act doesn't lead on to the fact that it may be a vampire film. I don't want to give it away. Most of you aren't going to see it. Almost all of you aren't going to see it, and that's fine.
We're all going to stay right here at the State Theater and watch it. What's over at the State Theater at midnight tonight? Oh, Babadook. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I've heard
of it. Not Marmaduke.
That would be a weird midnight movie, too.
There is a feature film Marmaduke, isn't there? CG?
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
You see it? Have you seen it, Jesse?
I've seen parts of it. It's the one with the German Shepherd. He likes pie, and he's voiced by Owen Wilson, and his best friend's a cat who's
That's Marley and me. Marmaduke is a great name.
He's owned by Owen Wilson.
That's not Marley and me.
He's owned. Is not, Marley
is Owen Wilson.
Speak. Marley doesn't speak in that, but it is Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
And
Marmaduke.
Yeah. But Marmaduke is a great Dane. Everyone knows that.
He's one of the best Danes.
Yeah. Him and Rutger Hauer.
Or Mads Mikkelsen.
You know what I don't like about Marmaduke movies is they can't kill Marmaduke. You know?
But wouldn't that be a brilliant movie, Marmaduke's death, you know? If Hollywood produced that film and Marmaduke got his head blown off, like, you know, into the second act, and then how do the owners of Marmaduke react to the Marmaduke's head being blown off?
They would probably freak out.
Yeah.
Poor Marmaduke. He was almost through all of that cherry dog treat when he died.
That would be like the new Bambi, like the new movie that would traumatize kids for generations.
You could make it like The Expendables and have Heathcliff be the one that killed him.
I saw Mice and Men last night with Franco. It's so funny you saw Palo Alto because I saw the last performance in New York of a Mice and Men and, it, you know, Lenny getting his head blown off. I was like,
oh, so he really dies at the end of the last performance?
They didn't change it. I thought they would, but he really, really dies. And it's funny because he got on stage to make a speech at the after party and he said, I've never done this before. And I said exactly what you said, which is it's the only thing you haven't done, Franco, you know, because like he's done everything. Did you read his book?
No.
Right. No one did, right?
Nah.
No one did. But maybe it's good.
It's short stories. That's all I know about it. It's a collection of short stories.
It's called Palo Alto Stories, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the movie Palo Alto is based on it. And in the movie, he plays like a coach of a little girl, and she babysits his kid, and he comes on to her. It's creepy as fuck. Wow.
I'm really glad I missed that one.
Yeah, he's not a likable character like he was in Spring Breakers. So,
He's left Harry Osborn far behind then.
Yeah, exactly. What have you seen so far, Jesse, here at the film festival? Because there's tons of movies to see. You could, if you're ambitious, you could probably see 6 movies a day.
Oh, wow.
You're probably not that ambitious.
I am. I've had days where I've just only watched movies. But today I saw Land Ho. It was very great. This is about these two old men who go to Iceland. And they have a wonderful time. It's one guy's very eccentric, and they just have like a great time, like hanging out and stuff. So that's really good.
What do they do? Like sit around doing their Michael Caine impressions?
Nah. They go to spas. They go to. It's a lot more exciting than it sounds.
It sounds like an old
two guy. Old men in a spa.
Is it like old guy Spring Breakers?
No, but I would see that. That would be fun.
Well, we should give a shout out to the directors, Aaron Katz and Martha Stevens. They're very young and they're very amazing. They actually went to the North Carolina School of the Arts, which is a great place where David Gordon Green went. Oh, and he went to the Pineapple Express. Anyway, fuck that. Okay, fuck it.
Start talking movies.
And
I don't know why you keep falling into that trap.
I've seen that.
I'm looking forward to seeing Land Ho. Land Ho's on my list of movies to see.
It's got Jesse's seal of approval.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What else? Let me ask you about last year.
Oh sure, yeah, please.
Did you see anything you didn't like? Because I think Michael Moore has great taste in movies.
Oh yeah, it was 100% like I liked everything.
Yeah.
It was very good taste in movies.
All right. So what else did you see today? You've only been here today, right?
Yeah. Well, I've been here a couple of days. You know, like getting acclimated, going to the party last night. Today's like my first movie day. So
you had to have an acclimation party. It's still 3 years before I could drink legally, but I gotta really pace myself. At the opening night party.
I just relaxed, hung out with my parents, took a drive, saw the beautiful scenery. And I saw 12, 12, 12 today, which is a concert film. You know that concert for Sandy?
That was, Hurricane Sandy concert. It's always weird to say it's a concert for Sandy.
Yeah.
You know, that I don't want to give a dime to that fucking hurricane. That hurricane caused a lot of shit and problems.
I don't even know what a hurricane would do with money.
Yeah. What would she do with your dime?
She would just throw it around everywhere.
Hey, that Michael Moore would approve of that. Hey, money for all.
And that's so like Springsteen was in that.
Although I've got a bone to pick with Michael Moore.
I can't bone pick the bone with him. Never mind. Never mind. Go.
Okay. You, what happened?
12, 12, 12.
Yeah, and it's a, but it's a behind the scenes of that concert. So Springsteen is there. Was Tom Petty in it?
No, but Jon Bon Jovi was in it.
Oh, okay.
Tom Petty's not in it?
I guess not. What? You were all excited that Tom Petty was in it. That was false information, Jeff.
Are you into that music? Do you like that music? Is it, you know, young? I mean, you're connecting with them. Your parents are into that music. Is that the reason why you're into it? Or
we listened to a lot of Springsteen when I was growing up, so that was always good.
And are you familiar with his early albums, or like his early albums, or like the fucking post Born in the USA album? It's true. Any real Bruce Springsteen fans out there? Seriously, Greetings from Asbury Park, Wild Instrument in the E Street Shuffle, Born to Run. Those are the fucking albums there.
I'm not that well-versed, but I like Born to Run.
Doug doesn't want to talk about this.
Hey, owner, please don't pull the crowd anymore. Every time you do it, nobody responds. Okay, they kind of look at you like Doug is the host, isn't he?
And just the first three albums of Springsteen, look them up. I'm serious. It is worth seeing.
And in conclusion, 12, 12, 12 is a fine film that you would all enjoy.
You guys should be the new Siskel and Ebert. Owner, Jesse and owner.
Yeah. Get my blazer.
Roper sucked. Didn't he suck so bad? Wasn't Roper the worst?
He said Siskel and Ebert, dude.
I know, but...
Why the fuck are you talking about
Roper? They're both dead. But
you just don't get enough opportunities to take pot shots at Richard Roper.
Come on, do you have...
He wasn't my favorite. When he was on with Roger, I agreed with Roger a lot more than I did with Richard, and when they'd argue, it would make me angry, because I'd be like, he's no Gene Siskel, but he's a nice guy, and he has opinions.
Has he been on the show? Has he been on the show?
No, he hasn't.
Okay. Have you ever read any of Ebert's written criticism?
He's a terrific writer. Pulitzer Prize winning.
Totally.
And the movie that's playing at this festival, if you haven't seen it yet, Life Itself, about Roger Ebert, directed by the guy who directed Hoop Dreams, which is a movie that Roger Ebert helped to bring to the fore and make a lot of money for, especially for a documentary at that time. It's kind of a nice full circle of life, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Of this guy directing the documentary about Roger Ebert, and it's a great documentary. I mean, he's a very interesting man. There's a lot of facets to his career. But the most fun part of the movie is they show a lot of outtakes of him arguing with Gene Siskel, and it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and he was one of my heroes, so just to see him talk and see him do all this stuff and to learn even more about him than I had already learned from his website was just a really fun experience. And I actually, I was in the audience at the Museum of the Moving Image, and Chaz Ebert was there, and I got to ask her a question, and it was just really a highlight of my evening.
She's a nice lady.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to Ebertfest in Champaign Urbana a couple times, and she hosts everything, and she's not the slickest presenter, but she's very passionate and heartfelt, and a lovely woman.
Mm. What did you do at Ebertfest?
I just went and watched movies.
Oh wow!
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting festival because it lasts about the same time as Traverse City, but you see at most maybe four movies in a day, and there's no options. It's just there's one theater. At this time, we're showing this movie, and then we're showing the next one. But they have a guest from almost every movie. And this last time, they had Spike Lee and Oliver Stone. And
was Patton Oswalt there?
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Patton was there this year. The previous time I went, he was supposed to be there and he had to cancel. Yeah. But
did you watch four movies a day, Doug? Did you really watch four movies a day at the Ebertfest?
I watched. I may have seen four one day, but I didn't really go in for all of them. But also, he picks movies. They pick movies now that Roger loved. And so it's a dazzling array of movies. But I personally wasn't in the mood to see Born on the 4th of July again.
We go around
that
Oliver
particular
Stone,
day. I wasn't personally interested in the Oliver Stone Q&A. But it's pretty cool that somebody that big came out to the festival, especially now that Roger's gone. He's not even there, But they're going to keep doing it.
Spike Lee, did you care about the Spike Lee Q&A at all?
That was awesome, the Spike Lee.
It was awesome, right?
Yeah, because that movie, they showed Do the Right Thing, and seeing it on the big screen with an audience like a 1,200-seat theater was really it was really exciting. And then he's just so, you know, he just says what he feels about everything.
Right.
So he's an interesting Q&A subject, because when somebody in the audience asks a stupid question, first thing he says is, that's a stupid question.
Right. Like, did you get on the bandwagon,
he
though?
Give a fuck. What?
Did you get on the bandwagon when he tried to raise money for the vampire film he made in Brooklyn? Anybody remember this? Kickstarter, he tried to raise $1.2 million. There was a bandwagon, like, that just said, fuck this, why?
But you know Vampire in Brooklyn's like an old Eddie Murphy movie, right?
Yeah.
What he was doing, it's...
He did not kickstart that movie.
Blood of Jesus. You know,
Blood of Jesus, right. So close.
I don't think that's the name of the movie either. What's the name of the movie?
It's called Summer of Sam.
Summer of
Sam's Blood.
You did that already.
The Inside Man.
Right. Mock me for not knowing the title. That's
this
fine.
Is the worst game. But, just yell the wrong names.
Hashtag
did you?
She's got to have it.
Girl six. I just
if
want
you're
to make
Kurdish,
sure my voice
she does.
Still works.
If you're
school
Kurdish,
days.
She does have to have it. What did? What did you? And fuck it. Let's keep going.
Crooklyn.
Great movie. Brooklyn's a great movie.
When I'm old, I'm definitely going to sit around playing Last Man Standing by myself. Just on a park bench yelling out Spike Lee titles at people as they walk by.
Malcolm X. That'll be you.
You'll be my little friend. Helps me out with the tough ones. Yeah. Let's see, what have I seen here at the festival? I saw La Gran Familia Española from Spain, and I really enjoyed it. It's like my big fat Greek wedding, but charming. And Big Fat Greek Wedding was a huge independent movie hit, probably one of the biggest independent movies ever, right? But it didn't really work for me. I wasn't that into it. I saw 1971 today, which is the Leonardo DiCaprio story. I mean, J. Edgar Hoover. It's about him being a complete asshole. Like, I don't even want to... I've never seen J. Edgar, the DiCaprio movie, but now I don't want to because I hate J. Edgar Hoover after seeing 1971. Yeah. It's really illuminating what a
douchebag... It was a great movie, though.
He was a complete douchebag, that guy. Yeah, 1971, it's about a group of people that just decided during the Vietnam War to just bust into a FBI building and steal a bunch of files and see what's in their files. Then they looked in their files and it's all this shit about them, about all the creepy shit they're doing where they're doing tons of surveillance on...
It's like they kept all the terrible things they should have kept secret in this one cabinet.
Yeah.
There should have been more scenes of them in the house later going, what the fuck? Are you shitting me?
You can't hit clear history on a cabinet full of files unless you set the building on fire. And then I saw 5 to 7... which is not to be confused with 9 to 5. Do you know what 5 to 7 is, Jesse?
Oh yeah, it's Anton Yelchin, who was in the Star Trek movies. He plays a young writer. He's been rejected a lot.
Sure.
He meets a beautiful French woman played by Bernice Marlowe, who was in Skyfall. I thought I was going to see this, so I did tons of research. And then they begin a...
You haven't seen this.
No.
You're telling us all about a movie you haven't seen. I love it.
You just described my bread and butter, really.
Yeah, I love it. I can describe movies I haven't seen, too.
Oh, awesome.
Name a movie I haven't seen.
I don't really know.
Like Crazy? Have you seen Like Crazy? Have you seen Like Crazy?
I did, and it drove me crazy during 5 to 7 that Anton Yelchin, why is he hooking up with chicks from Europe? Because that's fucking him over every time.
It's a terrible movie.
Oh, okay.
Wait, so yeah.
That's what I meant to think.
They begin an affair to finish the synopsis.
It's a horrible, horrible film.
Oh.
What?
Really?
Like what? Crazy. Have you seen that movie?
Like Crazy?
Yeah.
It's depressing as fuck.
Wait, for sure.
I was at Sundance 2011 with a movie called Septian, and I was in. No one's seen it, but some people have. And this movie was there. And I remember seeing it with an audience of 1,100 people. I'll be very concise and brief. And after the movie was over, there were all these people just congratulating themselves and applauding like it was the second coming. It was the most amazing movie ever. And it's such a piece of shit. And I feel very proud to say that. Because when I was there as a newbie, I felt like it was my obligation, my duty to tell people to stay the fuck away from this movie. Because it's very flawed and fundamental.
People sort of did that on their own anyway.
I mean,
it wasn't like it was a
not
big hit or anything.
Not fucking critically, which is the problem. There's this sense of like adulation and like canonizing movies that are fucking terrible. Indiana Jones and Last Crusade, are you guys fans?
Yeah, oh,
that, the Last Crusade. Crusade. Yeah, yeah, but the one after that, The Crystal Skull. Fans of that fucking movie?
Yeah,
you
I like fan? That movie.
You like that movie?
Yeah.
I understand that.
Really?
With Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf was in that, too.
He's not the problem. He's not the problem.
He swings to the jungle. The CG. It's amazing.
You like that movie.
Yeah. Well, I was.
Well, you were fucking 11 when you saw that film.
I wore a leather jacket and a fedora to the showing. It was amazing.
I was 30.
The problem is not enough. Be hard. When I did Q&As, no one gives a shit. When I did Q&As for Summer of Blood at Tribeca Film Festival, which is great. I felt good to be there. I felt sort of like egotistical and like kind of like excited to be there and felt like my ego go up a few notches. But on my Q&As, I was very... I wanted to hear criticism. I wanted people to rip the movie apart. Because criticism, people should be fucking, they should be the critical about movies.
And not exclusively, dude.
A movie, we're waiting, we're anticipation for a fourth Indiana Jones. It should be amazing. It shouldn't be, it's not even good. It's terrible. I was offended walking out of that movie.
Well, you don't believe like in the concept of like a misfire where they like try to do something good and then it just turns out bad just because there's involved?
Like there's something interesting
You realize the ghost came out and melted faces in the first one. What's the big deal with aliens?
The CG stuff was a nightmare. Like the actual
those weren't execution. Real ghosts and raiders, man.
Yeah, but it was there was something about it. It was a little bit more legitimate.
I feel like it was strangely real the space. Effects went backwards. Like the effects are better in Raiders.
Well, let's
than
talk
they
about Boyhood. We talk
one.
About Boyhood. Boyhood is 100% like whatever throughout the board. Everybody has been unanimously positive about Boyhood. Great, I can see the reason why. But why hasn't anyone criticized obvious things to be critical about? Did you see Boyhood?
I have not. I'm going to see it.
I've not really fucking
good.
Seen Boyhood yet.
It plays
it's
on
3 hours long.
Man.
And to be fair to Doug, I only saw it because of a sneak preview that I went to. So.
And you liked it?
Loved it, yeah.
We can't talk about it because they haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
so
the kid, though, was a year older than me, and he liked a lot of the same pop culture when he was a kid, so that was a lot of fun.
There's lots of ways to criticize that movie of why it doesn't work. You make concessions when you make a film over 12 years, and that does...
Well, concessions is how the movies make their money.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I mean, laugh it off. That's not funny. Very funny guy. You're a very, very funny guy.
So was 5 to 7 good, or like, did you like it?
Oh yeah, we were talking about 5.
I get another beer. Yeah.
Oh, he's leaving.
Hey,
again.
Can someone get that guy a water?
Is he coming back? Or?
Yeah, he'll be back.
There he is. So,
but I found 5 to 7 the screenplay to be very very clever and a very interesting predicament, and the way that it plays out in the end is it's one of those movies where you're kind of like, how can this end in a satisfying way, and somehow it manages to, which is always even kind of extra satisfying. Mm-hmm. So I like that one, 5 to 7. But the reason I asked the 18-year-old to describe the movie, and then he described it in such a professional way. This is what I wrote down. The movie's about French fuck around time. Because apparently the French, if you're cheating on your spouse, or if it's even allowed, you're just allowed to have mistresses or whatever, you do it from 5 to 7 in the afternoon, because that's the perfect time to walk in at 7 and go, oh, I got held up, traffic was bad, or whatever your excuse is going to be. So 5 to 7 is French code for let's...
Is that
let's fuck? Let's it's over here we say Ashley Madison, and there they say from, you know, that website about where people want to cheat.
Is that where they came up with the concept of happy hour?
I guess so. Yeah, they don't say, they never make that joke in the movie, but they should have. But Anton Yelchin's character is pretty clever and funny in it, and Frank Langella and Glenn Close play his parents, and those scenes are very funny.
Oh, cool. Yeah, very, very. Yeah, they're very good actors. Yeah.
What's your tomorrow, Jesse? What do you have to do
moderate?
What do you have to moderate?
So I'm doing the Internet's Own Boy, the Aaron Schwartz film. You know, the guy who co-founded Reddit and unfortunately took his own life after the government really went after him for illegally downloading articles from JSTOR. So I'm doing that with the director, Brian Appenberger. That's going to be very fun. Like a good Q&A. And then I didn't think the film was going to be fun.
Why are you laughing?
because he said it's going to be a good Q&A. He hasn't seen the film yet, yeah. And you know,
it yeah, but I trust him. I've known him for about 20 minutes total time. Well, about 45 now that all.
Yeah, let's figure it out exactly.
Yeah. But I trust him.
I left because he
How did you get on this gig? How did you get to be moderate? Do you mind if I ask, Doc?
Don't mind at all. I think I was sort of asking him about it earlier, but somebody kept interrupting.
Do we already answer the question then? Do we already answer it? I mean, how did you get here as an 18-year-old?
Sure, how did you do it?
All right, so...
Be concise.
So, is it a...
That's right, it's true, right? We're on borrowed time, Doug. Okay. That's what you want, isn't it?
We have enough time, right?
You don't want people to...
Oh, no, this is perfect. The listeners are going apoplectic because I haven't even mentioned games yet, and the show's been going for over an hour.
Oh, God, so...
Because I've kind of lost the will to do that.
To do an elevator pitch, my mom actually produced a documentary called Being Elmo, Puppeteer's Journey that played at Traverse City.
Being Elmo, yeah.
And then I went to Tribeca to see Michael Moore get interviewed by Susan Sarandon. And luckily, because we knew Michael a little bit, I was able to go backstage and I was able to go up to him and we just started talking about Woody Allen. We just started talking about movies. And at the end of it, he said, oh, well, you're coming to Traverse City. And I said, yes, please. And I was very excited. And then I came here my first year and I've been doing it ever since. And
50, you were 15 when this happened.
16.
16.
And the first guy, if people can remember back to
this
podcast.
This is his third year here for those keeping track.
That guy who did the horse whisperer, you called him, who did the thing with you, the comedy panel last year. His name is Bob Byington. He was my first guest. So that was the first guy I did it with, and I've just been doing it ever since.
Was he crotchety? Because Bob Byington's a crotchety son of a bitch.
Yeah, I was told by a bunch of people, like, he's very...
I love him, by the way.
He's wonderful, wonderful guy. I was told by, like, he's very ornery. He could be kind of ornery, you know, watch yourself, you know, make sure you're okay. And I go out, and I'm all the time thinking to myself, you know, don't make yourself, like, don't joke, don't put yourself out there, don't do anything, like, to draw attention to yourself, just it's all about the filmmaker, and do that. And I get out, and I ask him my questions, we have a good repartee, and I go, okay, first question, and I call on someone, and the woman gets up and goes, Jesse, what's your favorite movie? And I just think to myself, this is gonna be different, and,
What'd you say, Holes?
Oh, no. The editing in that is very good, by
the way. What teenage boy doesn't love Holes?
It was actually Radio Days.
The truth is so not fun.
Woody Allen and Holes? Come on, there's a connection there.
I can't find it. This would have been so insanely different had Michael Moore been sitting here. Because it was going to be these three and Michael Moore. So all of this would have tried to happen with Michael Moore sitting there. And it would have been very interesting. It's still very interesting, nonetheless. But it's fun to imagine. And this is the part of the show where I say, let the games begin! Take control of your blood this summer. This is the part where everybody holds up their name tags and the three gentlemen on stage just put down your microphone and go select the person that you'd like to play for. And Jesse went right for the Woot Monkey. Yeah, we're going to play some games
monkeys.
Now that we you just go ahead and he went for the cookies.
Yeah,
toss those cookies.
You
just selecting a name tag that appeals to you. It's your own personal choice. And you made eye contact and you took that guy's cookies.
What type of monkey is this again?
It's a Woot Monkey. Or I used to give away Moot. Yeah, that's okay. You want? Who's going to talk now, me or you? Fuck.
I don't know how to play any of these games, but okay.
Yes, everybody knows that. Everybody's been assuming that's what was going to happen. That's why we're going to play the easiest fucking games I have at my disposal.
Don't change the game.
Oh, I'm changing the game. Because I'm in charge. I get to decide what happens. I get to decide if anyone outside of this room ever even hears this. Especially now, I don't want anyone to hear me saying, everybody even hears this. Is anyone going to hear this?
Are you Frank Nelson? Who are you?
I don't know who that was, but... it was a silly old-timey voice.
Yes,
that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. good choice.
But yes, Woot Monkeys is something I used to throw out into the audience, shoot out into the audience at the shows, because they're... Can I see that one?
For sure, yeah.
Because they're... This, is this an official... No, this is just a monkey that doesn't do what Woot Monkeys do. The arms have the... Oh, the arms have the...
Oh, so it's like the...
My mistake. It's been so long since I've...
It's the Mr. Fantastic
told one.
Monkeys, really.
Yeah, and you just basically, you just use it as a kind of like a sling. It slings itself. It's a slingshot, but
oh,
it,
wow.
he goes flying through the air.
And then he goes like that. I had one of those as a kid.
Yeah, yeah, and I've had them and given them away. Woot used to send me boxes full of them, but I got tired of like bumping into it in the middle of the night and then waiting for a few minutes for all the monkeys to stop screaming.
We had to take. I had a Woot monkey as a kid, and we had to take it out.
Yeah, I wouldn't take their voice out. I wouldn't do that to a monkey or a dog. I think they should be able to make the noise that they make. But and then who's that? Who are you playing for there? Is her name on it somewhere?
The name is on the back. Is that the one I read? Or
is it a girl's name?
Your yes,
name?
I think so.
Is it, it's not a shithead on the back. Okay.
Oh, good. It's Kali? Is that I'm saying it right? Kali?
Kaylee.
Kaylee.
All right. Kaylee is not a shithead.
Good.
And who are you playing for, owner?
I'm playing for... Man, you've got a cool fucking gift. I don't want to... Justin, you got cookies... And yeah, that's great. I don't need them. Thank you. But thanks for the cookies. But like, I'm playing for cookies. What am I playing for? Cookies?
You're playing for
the guy in the audience. Remember backstage
people
when I
made
said...
Gifts? You, somebody made that? Can I give my gift back and pick like a original line? No offense, Justin. I mean, this is great. That you. The font is nice. I mean, there's a nicely written Justin on the... Yeah. Box of cookies.
I would put you in the worst guest competition if you were ever going to be on again.
I assumed I would be. You're applauding that, really? You're against
yeah,
me?
Yeah, yeah. These people came to
Why
see me and what I do. Not
see if you're against
hey, owner,
me.
Owner. Hey. Let's big round of applause for owner who's going to leave the stage right now. Big round of applause for owner. Just take
really?
Off. Yeah, you're done.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you. Terrific job. I can't get through the rest of this fucking show with him doing that at every turn. Every fucking turn. He's got to discuss every goddamn thing. Who are you playing for, Jeff?
What is that?
No, Lando Calrissian. Look at it. It's fucking sweet.
See, that's a nice name tag. Now I feel bad for throwing him out of here because he did make a bad choice.
I broke the Falcon. But there's a can of Colt 45 in this Millennium Falcon also. Turns out I can't do the microphone and the Falcon at the same time.
You can put it down there and then you can come
or,
sit
yeah,
over
or
here.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. So, well, the listeners don't really care how awesome that name tag is, but it is really cool. And what's the guy's name?
Nolan.
Nolan.
Yeah.
Nolan Calrissian?
Nolan Do Calrissian.
Okay. I like it. All right, so... what should we do first? Should we get a third player up here? All right, dude, get up here. Yeah, like backstage, I explained the name tags and the shithead on the back and the whole deal. So when he went off on that, like I'd never spoken to him about it, I knew he was going to be trouble.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi.
What's your name again?
My name's Dan Hogue.
Dan?
Yeah, Dan.
Oh, yeah. And the gun said Dan Hunter.
That's right, the Dan
instead
Hunter.
Instead of yeah. Deer Hunter.
Who yeah. won the prize bag last year, right?
Well, my wife did, yeah.
Yeah.
My wife! That's
right. That guy. Jay, he knows everything. Jesse, he knows everything.
What? I'm sorry, I missed something, I think.
He's just saying that you know you've never, everything.
You've
you.
Never missed anything yeah. ever.
Oh, thank you.
He's very smart, and when he contributes, it's, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
As long as none of the categories have to do with Shia LaBeouf, yeah. you know.
Yeah, see,
don't get too
if
chatty,
you can't
dude.
Even pronounce it,
yeah,
that's right.
You shouldn't even talk about it.
You know, his name actually means thank God for beef in some other language.
Yeah, what else are you going to put in holes? Oh, man. I really can't wait to see Summer of Blood, though, now, because That's amazing that he's the star of that movie.
I imagine it's going to almost get to the movie. No, for 90 minutes.
It's all trailers for other movies that he hates.
He just jumps in. I'm going to be a vampire soon, probably. I don't know what this movie's about. Maybe I'm the vampire. Maybe you're the vampire. Don't you hate vampires?
Hang on a second. Let me vomit blood into your mouth.
Oh, look, a dog.
He's killing it.
Thank you.
Mom and Dad are so proud over there. Are you filming the whole thing, Mom? Great. So at least one version of this show will exist. I gotta try to smite it when you put it on YouTube. All right. So we've got, by my count, we have about 9 minutes left in the show. But since I think all of you understand and can get through some, let's just see if we can quickly play some Leonard Maltin game. Let's see if we can do it. Normally I'd say let's bag it and do some Last Man Standing or whatever, but I think this can go quickly enough. It'll be exciting if we can get it all done in 8 minutes, because that's how much time we have now. This is a ticking time bomb. Jesse, since you've been so amazing, I'm just going to let you go first.
Thank you so much.
We'll go to Dan and then Jeff. And you get to pick between at the Haley Dexter suggested. That's you over there? You got a whole crew and everything. She suggested, because it's the slogan of this film festival is just great movies. So she suggested that as a category, just great movies.
Oh.
And of course, that's, I can't decide which movies are great. And
yeah.
I mean, Leonard can try. But this category is movies that have the word just or great in them.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't think there's any with both. Also, celebrating a birthday today, the great Arnold Schwarzenegger. And when I say great, it's in quotes. Just like that last category. So the films of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Or Penny Dreadful, and that's Penny Marshall movies that she directed that Leonard gave 2 stars or less. Which one of those would you like to play?
Well,
Jesse Pasternak.
Thank you. My mom is
from New York City.
I'm a little north of the city, but
okay.
There.
Well, you said New York earlier, yeah. So I ran with it.
So,
is that where they do Tribeca?
New York City, yeah.
I'm just doing an impression of what was happening earlier. There's a lot of random throwaway questions. Which one?
I think my mom's a huge Penny Marshall fan, but I think I'm gonna have to go with Justin Great. The word just and great in the title.
Okay. This movie with just or great in the title got 2.5 stars from Leonard. It's from 1989. He calls it slick and highly stylized. And then he also says that the lead performer in this movie is really playing the piano. And he lists 11 names. How many names do you can get this movie that has just or great in the title?
I'm going to go 5.
Five is a smart opening bid.
I'm going to say 0 names.
Dan is not fucking around.
Respect, yeah.
Are you wearing a Michael Moore costume?
I have some political views I could share with you right now.
Oh, please.
Later.
I'd rather know what you thought of Like Crazy.
I'm somewhere in between on that one.
Okay. You say 0 names. Okay, Jeff, what do you think of that?
Name it.
Yeah.
All right, so if you name the movie, you're going to get a point.
Is it Great Balls of Fire?
And what would you put after the fire if you had to punctuate it?
An exclamation mark?
That is correct. Yeah!
Was that Dennis Quaid?
Yeah, Dennis Quaid.
I really wanted to go negative
really
one, but I didn't.
Does he really play the piano in it?
The reason that Leonard brings up that he plays his own piano is because it's not his voice singing. That's Jerry Lee Lewis's real voice, but apparently it's Quaid's real piano playing, which I don't believe, but whatever. did you think of, Dan, did Great Balls of Fire leap into your head because it was movies with the word great in it?
Yes.
All right. Good job. Well done. All right, Dan's on the board with 1 point. We're playing to 2 points, and we have 5 minutes. What are you doing down there, Jeff?
Nothing. I have a fake gun. Just remember that.
Yeah, don't push him.
We should just give it to him just in case it goes off, you know? Like.
Okay.
Just in case, yeah.
You asked him to name it there, Jeff, right? Yes, you did. Don't shoot yourself with the fake gun. We're going to start
jammed with the shitheads.
We're going to start once again. We got 4 minutes. We're going to start once again with Jesse. Gets to pick another category, and then this time we'll go to you, Jeff. And Jesse gets to choose between Nikki 6, that's Nicolas Cage movies from 86, 96, or 06. Gerard Depardieu, and that's Gerard Depardieu movies that Leonard gave 2 stars or less. And this one's interesting when you think about it. A Prairie Home Companion, and that's movies that have bestiality in them. Because somebody has a companion in their home on the prairie. Which one of those would you like to play, Jesse?
I think I'm going to go the Gerard Depardieu because okay. I sort of know about French movies. I have a hunch.
Somebody said boo in the audience. That's a really hostile way to react to an 18-year-old boy just trying to make his way in the world. 2 stars for this movie that has Gerard Depardieu in it. The year is 2000. Oh. Leonard Maltin calls this movie excruciatingly shrill.
He doesn't mince words, does he?
Yeah, and he says the results are spotty at best. Spotty at best. And he lists a whopping 10 names. That's not that many, but 10 names. How many can you get it in, Jesse?
I think I'm going to go 5 again, just like to make sure.
Just yeah.
Play it safe.
Yeah. Smart play. Jeff?
Name it.
All right,
your 5 names are Eric Idle, Timothy West, Ian Richardson, Carol McCready, and Ben Compton. So you probably only recognize one of those 5 names.
Yeah. Is it I'm Not Alan Smithy? Or?
Oh, that was called Burn After...
Burn Hollywood Burn.
Burn Hollywood Burn, not Burn After Reading. Burn Hollywood Burn, the Alan Smithy story. That's not what this is. This is Depardieu somehow got roped into being in the Dalmatian movies. And this was 102 Dalmatians.
Oh.
The one. And finally, we can get that category out of my phone. And now Jeff's on the board. Jeff has a point. Yeah. Now we'll start with Dan and go to Jeff. Spoiler alert, that's movies where someone is run over by a car. Someone named Double Dag suggested on Twitter, Carl! Carl! And that's movies where Carl Reiner directs and appears.
Oh, I couldn't get that.
People are always yelling for him on that set. And then, was that 2 or 3? Okay, one more. Eric R. Stevens suggested, not even Stevens, but Eric R. Stevens, suggested Meals on Wheels, and that's movies where there is oral sex in a car. Sorry to possibly make you play that category in front of your parents, Jesse.
Oh, I would have taken the Carl Reiner. I'm a huge fan.
Sure, which one, Dan?
I would be remiss if I didn't pick Spoiler Alert.
All right, Spoiler Alert. Would you like a movie where someone gets hit by a car from 1977, 1983, or 1995?
Well, let's go with 95.
All right. Are you ready over there, Jeff?
Yeah.
I know you were doing some grooming.
This is how I think.
2 stars from Leonard, Dan. He says about this movie from 1995 that it is... he says it has an exciting car chase, but this movie never rises above the mire. M-I-R-E, a word popularized in a song by The Doors. Because Jim likes to wallow in it. The mire. I've never really seen it in a sentence like that. And he lists 11 names.
Let's start with 10.
Strong. Jeff.
9.
Jesse.
I'm going to go 7.
Skipped a number.
I'm going to hope that you were too young to remember this movie and say name it.
All right. Oh.
All right. So 7 names. And this is... Jesse, you're not on the board yet?
No, I'm sorry.
All right. This is your chance. This is your chance to bring it to a 3-way tie. Mm. Your 7 names are Kevin Teig. Get that gun out of
very
his face.
Carefully about for those your answer. Who
are, why are you bringing that extra pressure on him?
For everyone who's listening, you just pointed the fake gun at me, so you understand that laughter. You know, this is a podcast. You can't see it.
I thought I described what he was doing, but that's cool.
Sorry.
It's kind of a thing. It's kind of catchy tonight. Angie Everhart, David Hunt, Holt McCallany, Ken King, Donna Murphy, and Richard Crenna. Do you know who Richard Crenna is?
I don't. I'm sorry.
That's something that, it's that kind of I would think you would know. Yeah, stop doing that with the gun, Dan.
Yeah.
Jeff just threw away Dan's gun.
Thank you, Jeff.
What do you think there, Jesse? You got any idea?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. I think you did a great job up here tonight. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. The rest of the names are Michael Bain, Chaz Palminteri, Linda Fiorentino, and David Caruso. And Angie Everhart's actually the person who gets struck very hard by a car in a car chase in San Francisco in a motion picture called Jade. Jade is the name of the movie. And our winner is Dan. You did it, Dan. His family has won 2 years in a row. You don't get the prize bag this time. Or maybe, I guess you should be playing for yourself. I should just give you the prize bag, right?
I'll take it.
That's what we should do. Dan gets the prize bag.
Stick around for Summer of Blood, people.
Yeah.
Sorry, Justin. Justin, where's
just
Justin?
Twist ending. You don't see it.
You? If you want to meet me tomorrow, I'll give you the rest of my dog treats.
Was there a shithead on the back of those cookies? Oh, there was? Oh,
there
we
was?
Need, we need
I
it back
looked,
there.
Wasn't, I didn't see it.
Oh, he probably is just mad at ingredients.
Gluten.
Does it really? Did you really write one on there and he couldn't find it? No. Yeah. Oh, it's on the bottom. Yeah, toss it back up there. These cookies are going to get ruined. All right.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a good one? Oh, it is a good one. All right, you can toss. Oh, here, I'll just toss them back to him. Nice.
Good catch.
Terrible toss. Good catch. All right. So, and the Woot Monkey doesn't have a shithead on the back, does it? So just good one. Why are you bringing me a beer? Wait, I thought. Oh, Cookies doesn't get a shithead. Cookies was who owner was playing for, and then. Of course, we saw what happened.
You could still read it anyway, just as a consolation prize.
Yeah, yeah.
I said we let him change his
shithead. I'll definitely say his shithead. What?
I said we say his shithead or let him change it if he wants.
No changes. We'll do. I like the one he did right on there. And all right, so we'll do 3 shitheads here at the end. Do you have anything to plug, Jeff, real quick?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Columbus, Ohio, August 14th through 17th, and then I'm doing a nice little run through a bunch of fucking shitty towns in Indiana in September. But I found some venues and whatever.
Dan, where can people see you?
I'm going to be at the Babadook next, actually.
Oh, my podcast.
Who's going to see the Babadook?
I have a podcast called Afternoon, everybody.
You always overplug. You never get them all in your first try. Jesse, you're going to be moderating some movies here at the festival and then going back to near New York City.
Yep, and then I'm actually going to have a new venue in the fall. I'm going to go to the University of Indiana. I'm going to be there for 4 years. You can come see me whenever you like.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I should bring Doug Lowe's movies to Indianapolis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that'd be fun. You're going to be a fan favorite from now on, I have a feeling. I have a very strong feeling people enjoyed that. I mean, kind of. It's always interesting. Sometimes people love it when the guests aggravate me, but in this case, I don't think they know who he is, so it would just it all seemed very surreal.
Okay.
Because I just met the man, and I have a real strong thing about not having people on that I haven't met before. But I thought that you know, with Michael Moore on stage, you know, that they would discuss his film, and Michael Moore would give it his stamp of approval. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen his film.
Yeah.
I've only met the man.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to judge him by.
Himself. And I just like to say real quick, thank you so much for having me. The fact that I can be on a podcast that so many wonderful people like Paul F. Tompkins or Patton Oswalt have been on, just the fact that I've been on this podcast is just amazing. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much. What a gracious guest. let's have, and thank you, Traverse City Film Festival. We'll definitely do this again because I always have a blast here. And one more time for Jeff Tate and Dan, the man with the gun. And owner Turkle. I still can't pronounce his name right. And Jesse Pasternak, everybody. Jesse Pasternak. And as always, Shia LaBeouf is a shithead. John Beebe is a shithead. And how's this beer still cold? And Lee Harvey Oswald is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another hockey. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him